So all right. So I've got 12:34 on May 23rd, 2023. So let's call to order. Ms. Mouse, would you mind taking roll for us?
Yes, Dr. Stenhoff. We have Dr. Davey. He's not here at this moment. Dr. David Wilson.
Present.
Ms. Stenton. She's absent. Dr. Rates.
Present.
And Dr. Stenhoff.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Well, welcome everybody. It's nice to be able to spend the afternoon with you. Board staff, again, thank you for compiling this for us and taking care of all the administrative tasks that need to get done and clarifications that we're asking for. And Ms. Galvin, thanks for being here for your counsel for legal issues. And to my fellow committee members that are here, and thanks for, again, for volunteering to do all this and reviewing all these applications to help, you know, making sure our public is kept safe too. So thank you for that. Let's move on. The next item I want to bring up was we are continuing ed credit for maintenance of BACB certification. I'm going to read a brief statement. The Board of Psychologist Examiners is approved by the BACB as an ACE continuing education provider. Attending a meeting of the board's committee on behavior analysts is eligible for continuing education credit for maintenance of BACB certification and for Arizona State licensure. To claim this credit, make note of code words that are going to be provided hourly throughout the meeting. To report the code words to board staff for purposes of earning continuing ed credit, look for the link on the board's meetings page for this particular meeting. So, all right, let's move on to agenda item number four, approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve both those items, the regular session minutes and the executive session minutes?
So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, further discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, next agenda item, consideration of approval of behavior analyst applications. First application we'll refer to is Deidre Bowie. Dr. Rates, you are the lead on that one.
And before we start, I just want to note for the record, I see that Dr. Davey joined the meeting.
Okay. And all right. Welcome, Dr. Davey.
All right. So our applicant comes to us today having received their board certification in November of 2022. They also indicated that they are an LBA in the state of Nevada in good standing. They completed a master's degree at the Chicago School of Psychology in October of 2020. And they completed 1,781 supervision hours across multiple supervisors. That occurred in the state of Illinois, and it did occur prior to licensure in that state. In reviewing the application, I did not see any issues and would recommend that we move it forward.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Rades. Let's see. I'm going to move around a little bit on this agenda. So the next application we'll review will be with Dr. Davey and Tiffany Chandler. Dr. Davey, would you give us a review of that?
Thank you. Tiffany Chandler is coming forward for licensure in the state of Arizona. She's provided us information with regard to her BCBA certification, which she initially received in 2019. She identified two different providers in the state of Michigan where she received her, where she has been employed, and then also identified her master's degree from Ball State University. In addition, she listed for her site supervision and supervisors the same agencies that were listed before for her experience or for her employment, one of them being Applied Behavior Centers for Autism, the other one DeMar ABA, and has indicated 872 hours and 1,154 hours, respectively. Tiffany reached out to board staff and provided some clarification with regard to that, where she corrected the number of hours for Emily Cox, which would be 1,055.75, and then a Kristen Kimimond with another 465 hours, putting her above the 1,500-hour mark. I reviewed the application and did not have any other concerns. My question is just for board staff with regard to, and also for the record, Indiana does not have state licensure enacted yet. They're close, but it's not there. Board staff, with regard to the online application piece that has the supervision incorrectly loaded, is that something then this letter is just attached to the packet and we're good to go, or is there some sort of modification that needs to be made to that section?
Dr. Davey, I can't make any changes, or the applicant can't make any changes to the actual online application. So the only way to rectify that would be to have the additional information that would be attached to the application.
Perfect. So the letter suffices in that case.
Correct.
Very good. Then I'd like to move this forward for full approval from the board.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Davey. And Dr. Davey, if you don't mind, I'm going to call on you a couple more times.
You better give me at least 1 second to load a couple.
All right. Yeah, we'll give you a chance to adjust there. But so the next application we'll review is Legia Alvarado, who is also on the
What? Yeah, I thought you were going to give me a second, man. Like, what is this?
I'm just pointing it out so you know what to look for as you're scanning your documents.
Well, so. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, where did I, like, just making sure I have it open. It's more of my notes that's the issue. All right. Yes, Ms. Gia. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Stenhoff. Yes. So Gia is coming forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She identified that she also has a current license in the at the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation that was provided to her in 2021. She identified three different employment locations, also gave us her information on her most current information from the board certified behavior analyst certification board. That is current lists University of North Texas, where she got her bachelor's, as well as Arizona State's University Special Education Applied Behavior Analysis Program for her master's degree. She received her supervision hours from Achievement Balance Communities, two different supervisors for a total of 1,500 hours. Information that was provided with regard to that shows that the supervisors had licenses issued also in 2018, had licensure in effect for those locations. Sorry, the PDF is cut off a little bit there. For first individual, and again in Texas, supervision date started in 18. Supervisor provided details with regard to them being a board certified behavior analyst. They also had taken the modules and had their Texas license in place. Also, similar to the last applicant, there is a section of the PDF that page 11 that has a clarification with regard to the 1,500 hours. Alexis Bryant provided all 1,598 hours of experience, or sorry, not all, but 1,598 hours of experience, while Chelsea Campbell did 271.71, and Ashley Pett did 6.75. That gives the applicant over the threshold in terms of hours. Began supervision with all three of them in October of 2018. Also provides some information about when each of those individuals was involved with her in terms of supervision. That clarification is appreciated. And from what we just heard from board staff, will be amended to the information around her supervision experience. Our Texas license is in good standing with no issues. She also completed a multi-supervisor organization form, which outlines the information with regard to the three supervisor she had with the most updated information. So I appreciate that. Also has the dates of licensure there for any other board members to review. With that, I'd like to move this forward to the full board for approval.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. And since you're on a roll here, how about if we pick up with Samantha Carton next?
Yes. Second. Thank you. Are you afraid I'm going to leave or something? Or was I, you know, I don't feel like.
No, I'm just, I just don't want to ruin your flow. It's.
Thank you. And it's,
yeah,
it's
beautiful.
Did Samantha decide to join us? Yes, she's here.
Yeah, Samantha is on the call.
Samantha, I reached out to board staff last night just because I just wanted to get some clarification on a couple of things here. So Samantha Carton comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She has provided some information with her with regard to her BACB certification number. She received that in 2021 and completed the information on the experience and behavior analysis, listing the arc of the Ozarks as her supervised experience towards certification. Also gave us some other information with regard to previous employment. She earned her bachelor's degree at Missouri State University and her master's degree as well at Missouri State University, and that master's was in applied behavior analysis. The question I have for you is regarding your supervision sites and supervisors. So on our PDF, it's page 7 of your application, Samantha, and it appears when you listed out the hours of supervised experience. So Missouri State University Autism Clinic came in at 159 hours under Megan Boyle. And then the Arc of the Ozarks seems to have been loaded multiple times. So it's loaded multiple times, but with multiple supervisors. So Jessica Pemberton, Allison Schmidt, Sarah Ibertson, Benny Howard, and Haley Epps. But the part that I had questions about was each one of those shows 851 hours for each one of those supervisors. And then when I was reviewing the additional information, and I thank you for filling out the multiple supervisors form, that did not seem to match up, obviously, that each one of those individuals gave you 851 hours. So I just wondered if you could kind of comment on the discrepancy there and tell us what is the accurate information so we can work with board staff to get that updated.
Yeah, for sure. The information on the multiple supervisors form is the correct information. I got confused in the application and had pulled. I just didn't understand the directions fully. So I had pulled that 851 number from an old verification that I should have shredded and didn't, just to discrepancies during my hours. But the information on the multiple supervisors form has been double checked with that supervisor and all those supervisors. So all of those hours are accurate.
I appreciate that. I think that's very helpful. And so those will put you over the 1500 hours. I know there was a question with regard to the initial date for Mr. Benny Howard's Missouri license. Just so you know, for your record, I think you typed in as unknown. He was actually originally licensed in 2012, so very early on in the process. Mm-hmm. So with that clarification, I see no other concerns. I appreciate Ms. Carton making the appearance here today so that we could clarify that quickly. And I would move that this get forwarded to the full board as well.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. All right, Dr. Davis-Wilson, how are things at your end?
I can make it work.
All right. Okay, so let's, I'm going to pick up, if you don't mind, with let's start with Kristen Call, who is actually on the call as well. So.
Sorry. Thank you. So Ms. Call is a board-certified behavior analyst seeking licensure in Arizona. She did become certified in 2023. She graduated from Ball State University in 2022. In their applied behavior analysis program. She did complete 2,100 hours in Indiana from a period in 2021 to 2022. Indiana does not have licensure at this time, so those hours are good, and I did not see any concerns with this application, and I do recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Okay, Thank you. And then would you mind taking or reviewing Kylie, I believe it's Hung, at this time too? And she's also on the call.
Yes. So Ms. Tong did complete her certification very recently, last month and here in 2022. She did the Special Education ASU Applied Behavior Analysis Program and graduated, 2023 for certification, graduated from ASU in 2022. She had multiple supervisors across two sites, all of them LBAs in good standing, completed just over her 2,000 hours. I have reviewed her application and I do not have any concerns. I do recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Dr. Rates, would it help in any way if we put yours first, or would that help at all?
We can do that. I'm doing okay. So either whatever's easiest for the committee is fine by me.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Yes. Okay. So let's, since Dr. Davis Wilson's going along here, do you mind picking up with Alicia Eno, applicant number two?
Of course. So Ms. Eno is an LBA in good standing across multiple states. She was originally certified in September of 2011. She completed a clinical psychology behavior analysis program from Eastern Michigan in 2002. She did just over 1,500 hours with a single supervisor from the periods 2004 to 2006. That was done in Tennessee prior to licensure and prior to the BACB requiring the supervision course. And so I did review this application. I do not see any concerns and I recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Next application is Kylie DiStefano. I'm the reviewer for that. She was certified as a BCBA in February of 2023. She graduated in May of 2019 from Arizona State University with a master's in applied behavior analysis. She received 2,359.5 hours of supervision under an Arizona licensed behavior analyst, and I did not know any concerns with this application and recommend that move forward to the board for approval. Let's see. Next application, Victoria Bowles. Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Yes. So the applicant completed their BCBA in 2017. It appeared on review that they were licensed here in the state as well, and that was expired in 11 of 21. When I reviewed the application, they did complete all of their 1,500 hours in California and completed a undergrad and grad at Pepperdine and licensure is not required in California, so that was fine, and I didn't see any issue with the application.
Thank you. All right, next application is Jennifer Geisel. Ms. Geisel was certified as a BCBA in July of 2022. She graduated in February of 21 from Pepperdine with a master's in behavioral psychology. She received 1,500 hours of supervision in Texas under a Texas licensed behavior analyst. She is also licensed in Texas as a SLP assistant and behavior analyst. I did note the supervision was dated August of 2020 to March of 2021, meaning that the supervision occurred in just over 7 months. The BACB requires an accumulation of supervision hours limited to 130 hours per month. The applicant would not have been able to complete those 1,500 hours in the amount of time. So I recommend that a request for additional information. I see the applicant, I don't believe, is on the line, that respond to the hours that were completed that have fit within the BACB's guidelines or requirements for supervision. Do any of my other committee members have any comments on that one? All right, so let's move on to the next application. Is Caitlin Carlos. Dr. Davis Wilson, you're the lead on that.
Yeah, let me switch this here. All right. So Ms. Carlos is an LBA in good standing in Alaska. She did complete her certification in May of 2016. She attended Ball State University and graduated in 2014. Between the periods 2014, 2015, she did complete 1,500 hours in the state of Indiana, where licensure is not required. She did, however, answer yes to the question regarding any history of any criminal charges. She provided additional information regarding a 2012 incident of public intoxication and theft. Both of those have been, and yeah, both of those, all of those have been dismissed, and she has successfully completed all the requirements of the court. All that documentation was provided to us. I have no concerns with this application, and I recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Next application is Benjamin Shrewsbury. Dr. Davey, you're the lead on that.
Can you pass for 1 second on that? It's my computer froze up, and I'm looking at his application. It looks like a flat code right now. So
okay, sounds good. All right.
Yeah, send that to me.
Mr. Chair, if I may, we do have an applicant on the line that I can review real quick.
Okay. Who's the applicant?
Alvarado.
Oh, I think Dr. Davey reviewed for her. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I had it on mine too.
Let's see, let's move on then to Riley Sweetland. Mr. Sweetland was certified as a BCBA in March of 2023, graduated in December 2022 from Arizona State Universities with a master's in special education and concentration in applied behavior analysis. He received just over 2,200 hours of supervision under multiple Arizona licensed LBAs. I did not know any concerns with the application and recommend that move forward to the board for approval. Okay, next application is Gina Ducker. Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Thank you. So the applicant completed their BCBA certification in 2013. They also indicated that they are an LBA in the state of Louisiana since 2016. They completed a master's degree in 2012. And the only issue I saw for this application is that supervision on one page of the application early on, I have to search for which page, it shows that there's 2,500 hours of supervision. If you go down to the actual form that's completed, it's 1,500. But in both cases, it indicates that that supervision happened in an 8-month period. So I think that there needs to be a correction for that.
Dr. Ritz, does there need to be additional information or information from the applicant, or do you think it's just a clerical error?
I would assume it's a clerical error because that's a lot of supervision in a very short period of time. But we could also ask for additional information if needed.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think because there's multiple forms signed with that same date period, I think it would require a request for additional information, just based on how we've seen other applicants in this note. I'm not sure that it's an error that can just be emailed back. I think we need to a little bit additional information. I'd feel more comfortable with that.
Dr. Rates, is that of your opinion as well?
Yeah, that would be just fine.
Great. All right. Thank you, Dr. Davis Wilson. Thank you, Dr. Rates, too. And then Dr. Rates, since you're on still, let's move on to number 14, Ana Enrique Hernandez. Would you mind reviewing her?
The applicant received their BCBA certification in December of 2022. They completed a bachelor's at U of A and a master's at ASU. Supervision occurred between March of 2020 and December of 2022, all supervision was under Andrew Gardner, who met all of the supervision requirements for a total of 2,069 hours. I did not see any issue with this application and would recommend that it move forward.
Thank you. Dr. Davey, do you want to review? Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you very much. We have Benjamin Shrewsbury coming forward for licensure in the state of Arizona. Provided us information with regard to having a license from the Virginia Board of Medicine as a behavior behavior analyst. Also provided us information on his BACB certification as well. Both are current and in good standing. Listed three different employment organizations. And then went on to list those same as supervision sites. The individual then provided us information with regard to the supervision hours that occurred during the early in 2016 and then went through 2017 and then an additional 315 hours that was more recently accrued during 2023. I think I'll just, it's important to note for this one that the BACB certification's initial issue date was 2018. And so I don't, board staff, I was going to email yesterday, but I don't know if this individual came forward before and then ultimately had to withdraw and then is coming back with an additional 315 hours. I don't know if you had that anywhere in your notes for any particular reason. I'm guessing by the silence, perhaps no. And the reason I ask is because as we get into the supervision forms, they're all dated, you know, back in the 2017 era from his from the individuals that were attesting to the supervisors. And so I just thought that maybe we had seen this this individual before, and perhaps we had disqualified some hours, and they went back and got those completed. That 315 puts them just over the 1500 mark that they completed at Cardinal Center. The rest of the application is completed. As I've noted, the individual has provided the supervision supervisor's name as well as the, have information around their license dates for the states where they were supervised. All of that looks good. As I pointed out on the actual verification information that is provided, the signature on those that are, is being uploaded to us is from that 2017 date. So on PDF page 17, you know, that's signed off back in 2017 on one of our old forms. And I believe the other individual that was a supervisor for this gentleman, Megan Ballantyne, also signed off in 2017, again, on one of our older forms. I have no real concerns about that, just was interested to know if this is a of someone coming back forward. Other than that, commentary, this one can also move forward for approval by the full board.
Thank you, Dr.
Mr. Chair.
Dr. Davis Wilson.
Yeah, Dr. Davis, if I may, I'm just going to, you know, throw this out there, but I think it's a really interesting observation. And I think one of the things that stands out to me is if this individual didn't come forth to the board, that perhaps they found an employer that is familiar with the board statutes and that BCBA took it upon himself to educate on the board statute. So if that were the case, kudos to that BCBA for recognizing that that in relocating or providing services in Arizona, there would be additional requirements prior to applying for licensure. So I just wanted to note that as a observation.
Yeah. Well, are you guys able to hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I my name is Ben. I'm, can you just
welcome.
Yeah, I could probably thanks for the kudos. I did read up on the board statutes. The hour discrepancy from the years is that I was licensed back in the day when there was the practicum. And so y'all's rules state that the double hour doesn't count for 2 hours under practicum or the intensive practicum. And so I had to go back and receive additional hours because I was approved with less than 1500, but Arizona requires 1500 no matter what.
Yep.
So I had to find a supervisor in Arizona. It's all good.
Well, congratulations on working.
Yeah.
It took I don't know if Zakiya is on this call, but she was super helpful and was able to help me navigate all the mini policies and rules.
Well, congratulations. And in about a week, you'll be official.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, too.
Yes.
All right. Next application is Bettina Billings. I'm the reviewer for that. Ms. Billings was certified as a BCBA in February of 2020. She graduated in December of 2020 from University of Miami with a master's in applied behavior analysis. She received 1,204 hours of supervision in Florida, which does not require licensure. I noted a discrepancy between her certification date on page 4, which she listed her BCBA issue date of August of 2020, and her BAC certificate registry date on page 9. Her original certification date was February of 2020, so a difference of about 6 months. Also of note, her graduation date is later than her BCBA date, on a review of her transcript on page 10 indicates her graduation date of December of 2019. So that clerical error may need to be corrected. Finally, in relation to the hours that I mentioned earlier, she listed on the final verification form on page 12 that she has 1,204 hours. According to ARS 23-20.9 or 2091.03, the supervised experience must be at least 1,500 hours, which leaves a deficit of 295.94 hours that need to be accumulated to comply with the Arizona Behavior Analyst licensing requirements. Did any of my fellow committee members have any further comments on this application? Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for not using the hand earlier. We were in the groove of moving, and
and Dr. Davis-Wilson, the way my screen is set up, I'm glad you did because you were buried underneath one of my documents. So thank you for doing that. Yeah.
I do just have one question for, I guess it's going to be perhaps for Ms. Galvin, but Ms. Michelson might know the answer as well. Are the transcripts aren't public record, or is it part of which part becomes the public record? And I just ask because if the online application doesn't allow for the clerical edits, that's kind of a pain. But I want to make sure that, you know, if someone were to retrieve the records, it's clear that due diligence was done to confirm the 2019 date, but the transcripts wouldn't be included in that. So we are going to have to kind of adopt a process of having board staff supplement something. Like, what would that look like?
I can answer the question. The transcripts are confidential. What that process would look like, Ms. Michelson would have a better idea.
I would actually refer to Ms. Malice for that. She would have more knowledge than me, to be honest.
Well, generally, if there is a discrepancy on the online application, I will grant a deficiency notice to the applicant and have them correct it. And I usually will present that in either a memo or I will attach the actual email and I will add that to the online application as well as the application packet that the committee members receive. But I can't do anything about the actual online application.
I just out of curiosity and thinking from a perspective of assisting with kind of the manpower necessary for board staff, would it be helpful in a situation where we have the records? It's not like we're seeking the clarification for anything else. Could we do something where, you know, a letter signed by the committee chair or somebody is what's attached so that we don't have to keep going back and forth with the applicant? I mean, I think going back and forth on the burden of the applicant to respond and what have you is the responsibility of the applicant. I just can foresee we have so many clerical errors and hopefully with the online application that's reduced anyway. But if we're looking historically, we usually have 3 or 4 applications with clerical errors And I'm just trying to think, we don't have to have an answer now necessarily, but I'm just trying to, I guess, forecast the amount of kind of burden on staff this could start to present.
Matt, before they answer, I mean, do you I have a couple of thoughts on this, but I also don't want to run afoul of the agenda. Is this something maybe we should talk about a little bit? Like because I have a little bit of a hard time believing that our system administrator couldn't get back into the backside and make an adjustment and note somewhere that we have uploaded a clerical error. Like I think about all the databases that I have access to that people fill out forms to for our company. I can go into the master side of it and make adjustments. But I also don't want to, if this needs to be an agenda item, I don't, if Ms. Galvin's comfortable with it, I'd like to have the conversation, but if not, respect the process.
It is a discussion that has sort of organically flows from this application. So I think it would be appropriate to discuss if you would like.
Yeah, then I'll just continue on. Like I think that the issue that I'm thinking of is, again, if someone puts in an application like the ones that I just had, two of them, right, with wrong numbers in terms of supervision or a duplicate entry on supervision or whatever it might be, if, you know, even though the application itself is printed, where's that data housed? Is it in a database somewhere where we see every single applicant, every single form that's filled out, it's there? Do we not have the ability to go in and make an adjustment in there? And then maybe to Dr. Davis-Wilson's point, we, you know, the button that says adjustment made based on supporting documentation, something to note it where we can audit it, see it, but just something that would allow us then to fix our database and have it essentially tracked if there was ever any questions about what we were doing or when we were doing it. Thank you. I had to stop using my hand. Sorry, Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. No, Dr. Davy, that was perfect. I was actually just kind of going to piggyback on what you said. My guess is going to be because of the digital signature requirements of a legal document, once it's submitted with that I attest to, that's what probably locks it. And I think about like DocuSign, I think about Adobe Sign, those documents, like just flat out, once they're done, like once you submit it, there's no editing it. When I think of like some of the billing systems, you can reach out to IT teams to have them reopen locked things. But if that were to be the case, I don't know that that would be any less of a burden on staff, you know, to have to do IT tickets. So I guess the question to your, to kind of your point, Dr. Davy, is do we, you know, ask that board staff go back and just review? It's very likely that Heidi asked these questions in kind of the process of developing and setting this up. Review whether or not they've asked the vendor if there is a way to do exactly what we're asking of those edits. And if that has already, you know, even if it's a, hey, they have to open up. I know, like I said, with at least the billing company that I use, they have to open the appointment, which requires them to remove the signatures. There's still history that it was signed, opened, removed, but then everybody has to re-sign. And so obviously there's a different possibilities. I think maybe tasking board staff was seeing if there are any possibilities, and if there are, kind of crosswalking that to what burden that would present to them, and then seeing if, you know, they can come up with kind of a list to present back to us of ideas that they have. And I would even, you know, perhaps utilize Ms. Folks as well, because I would imagine it's not just the behavior analyst that this is going to become burdensome for, and perhaps, you know, just bring back information to us as to kind of how they propose that this be addressed. Because I think that's the bigger piece. I think simply emailing and having, like I said, I'm not as worried about the applicant having the burden, but I am worried about board staff having the burden. So perhaps we just task them with kind of the research and, you know, some proposed solutions.
And Dr. Davis-Wilson, committee members, we can certainly do that. I think my understanding at the time from speaking with Ms. Pakanon is during the development phase for the application module that this was not an option according to the developers. We can certainly circle back with them about our pain points. I don't know if there's any similar options or what costs would be involved, but we can definitely do that. And Ms. Malice, do you have any other insights about this that would be helpful for the committee to know?
Well, I think from a staff perspective, it's always been kind of that staff has been reluctant. I can just speak for myself and also with Kathy, that we have always been reluctant to add anything to an application since it does belong to the applicant. And so with the paper applications, we've always just requested that they redo one of those a whole page, and then we can add that into the original paper application and take out the one that is an error. With the online application, I think there's always been reluctance to do anything to an actual application other than very minor issues, such as if a birth date has been entered incorrectly or maybe a name has changed. Some of those things we've done, but if it's other things, we've always been hesitant to do those things. But with the fields that I see, I can change things on the profile page, which includes like date of birth, their name. But on the other pages of the application, I just see the information. I don't have a way. It's like a, I don't know how to explain it, but I can't edit or touch those fields.
Yeah, it's locked. It's grayed out. So nobody on either end can change it. And that's what my understanding was, that that wasn't something when we were developing the module that was an option or how that would be designated. But we can certainly go back to them and see if maybe something has changed.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think that one of the things to just consider is there's going to be obviously things that we don't have additional information on that we truly do need the additional information. And then some of these others where we've got a transcript that for us to do our due diligence to move this forward, we could absolutely do so. However, if that were to be the only thing that, you know, went out to the public record piece, that would be problematic. And so I think that I can appreciate why some of those things are locked out. Cause again, if someone is clicking, I attest that this stuff is accurate and they, you know, accidentally send it, and mistakes happen. I'm not saying by any means that they wrongfully attested. I think that, I mean, I do that all the time. All the time. So, you know, mistakes happen, but I just think I just worry, and perhaps it's just something we table and see how it pans out. But I do just worry that it could become burdensome to board staff to then have to go back and forth again with an applicant on something that we have truly the information available to the board to say that was a clerical error. And so again, that's what makes me wonder if it, rather than the back and forth, it would just be easier to have, you know, something at the direction of the committee and the board, or signed by the committee chair, that is just a little bit quicker and easier than back and forth with the applicant, is all I was thinking for those cases. Again, there are times when we can assume that there's a clerical error, but we don't have, you know, we do need that additional information. But I think this is one of those times to Dr. Stenhoff's, you know, point in his review, this is one of those times where it's clearly a clerical error. And, I just want to be cognizant of the amount of work board staff's already doing.
And then any more discussion about that part before I jump back to the application? Okay. So there is a deficit. Could board staff reach out to see if there's any other indication that there might be some other hours out there, she's essentially 300 hours shy of meeting the requirements of the 1500 hours according to the documentation she provided.
Yes, I will reach out to her, Dr. Stenhoff.
Okay. Thank you. And Ms. Malice, I did note in the application packet, you did make an attempt and try to have gain some further information to make sure. So hopefully we'll get more information that'll be positive for Ms. Billings. Okay, let's see, next application. Oh, Dr. Davis Wilson.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I'm full of it today. I apologize. You know, the other thing that I think is interesting, I just want to make sure that board staff are aware, there has never been a standard of 1200 hours, not under the fifth edition, not under the fourth edition, sixth edition's already out. It's not active yet, but there a standard of 1200 hours has never been allowable. And so I just want to make sure that board staff just hear, like, that is, I've never seen that. And the only thing that I can, you know, potentially think of is that those other 300 hours are housed under the university professionals as like group supervision through the university program. Either way, I think the challenge is going to become potentially if she truly only submitted 1200 hours to the BACB and the BACB let her take her exam, that may be something else that we're going to have to consider. It's not, I mean, perhaps she's done extra hours since then, but I'm concerned that the BACB actually approved her to take her exam with that form. Unless, again, there was another supplemental form from the university practicum that made up the other hours, which would have been allowable for, allowable for the BACB. But as you recall, it was the Florida instructors that we had called and met with and talked about, because they do have those group settings. And I'm, you know, wondering if those are the hours they just weren't licensed, or again, just if there aren't additional hours during that time period, then do we need to notify the BACB as well?
Thank you, Dr. Davis-Wilson. Okay, so let's move on to the next application. Brittany Wagner, Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. Brittany received her BCBA certification in February of 2023. She completed a bachelor's and master's degree at ASU, with her master's finishing in May of 21. Supervision occurred between October of 2019 and November of 2020 under Kimberly Ong for a total of 1,500 hours in North Carolina. She did meet all of the requirements as a supervisor, and I didn't note any concerns with the application and would recommend it move forward.
All right, thank you. All right, our last application for this we'll consider is Shakara Quarles. Ms. Quarles was certified as a BCBA in September of 2022. She graduated in November of 2011 from University of Phoenix with a master's in public administration, received an ABA certificate from FI, Florida Institute of Technology, in 2013. She received 1,695 hours of supervision under a BCBA in Colorado, which does not require licensure. There is missing information regarding Florida Institute of Technology in the educational background section. It's not reported in those documents. But other than that, I didn't note any concerns. And if that can be fixed prior to moving on, that I'd recommend moving forward to board for approval. Okay, let's see. Okay, next, do we want to make a motion to move these forward before moving on to the next section?
Stenhoff, did we do the review for applicant number 18, Quarles?
Yes, I just finished that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, first, Ms. Michelson, I'm glad I'm not the only one that was listening, but was like, wait, hold on, I'm listening and looking and missing two things.
My apologies, I thought we were on number 17.
Yeah.
That would be the facts of the chair bouncing around all over the list.
Mr. Chair, I'm comfortable making a motion. I do want to just clarify real quick for Ms. Duggar, which is going to be our request for additional information, that, you know, I do agree that, you know, there's a slight chance that it is a just a clerical error, but I do want to note that, again, even during that time of 2011 to 2012, the BACB would not have allowed the accrual of that many hours. And I played around with a couple of the numbers, and I don't even think if the 1,000-hour option was done, that that could have been done in that time frame either. So just a note for board staff for that request for information. So then I'm going to move that we move all of the applicants forward except for Ms. Duggar. We are going to request additional information for Ms. Duggar. We do need Quarles, an edit for Quarles, which would involve adding the ABA she's got the transcript, but the ABA information, the education section of the application. And then Ms. Wagner's date change for ASU. And I believe board staff, there was one other small clerical error noted as well. That would be my motion, is to move everybody forward with the request for additional information for Duggar and just a couple of clerical errors.
Just to clarify, to make sure I have this correct, I believe there was a FAIR issued for another applicant, Jennifer Geisel. Do I have that wrong?
That is correct. That is correct.
Yes.
Thank you. Then I will amend that and add Ms. Geisel as well.
All right. Do we have a second?
I have a second. Oh, sorry. Couldn't unmute myself fast enough.
All right. Any further discussion? Ms. Malice.
I apologize. Is there a FAIR for Bettina Billings on number 15?
Yes, let me just double check that. Yes, there was a shortage, and so the FAIR is request to see if there are more hours available. So, Dr. Davis-Wilson, are you comfortable amending and adding Ms. Billings as well?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, board staff. So I amend my motion to include Ms. Billings on the FAIR request.
All right. And then do we need a second again for that?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Let's see here. Ms. Malice, are we close enough for you to release the CE word?
Yes, Dr. Stenhoff. Our CE word is Italy. Italy. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay, so let's move on to agenda item number 6, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding documentation submitted by supervisor for Nicole Hart regarding unlicensed practice and possible recommendation to open a complaint. Dr. Davy, you're the lead on that. And as of note, Ms. Hart is also on the call.
Yes. And also to note to the committee, Ms. Hart was also present at the last full psych board meeting as well, where we discussed her renewal, which was approved per our recommendation. So just to kind of bring everybody back up to speed, we reviewed back in late April and made the recommendation to move Ms. Hart's license or reinstatement application to the full board. Full board approved that. We tabled the second matter with regard to whether or not she had actually practiced unlicensed during the period while her license has lapsed. We did receive in conversation with Ms. Hart that day, we talked about getting some documentation from her supervisor with regard to whether or not she was under the supervision of a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona during that period of lapse time. The board did receive a notification from the supervisor, where she highlights that she currently receives at least 4 hours per month of direct face-to-face supervision, as well as oversight and overlaps on parent meetings performed throughout the month. Talks about the fact that there's consultation on cases that occurs weekly, and that they're provided direction and oversight on assessment and treatment of cases that are overseen by Ms. Hart as well. And that is signed by a BCBA who is also a licensed behavior analyst and has been so in the state of Arizona since 2018. That is my summary. If there's any questions, happy to answer it. If not, I'm happy to move us forward on this matter and make a motion.
Any discussion for that? Okay, Dr. David, you have a motion you'd like to make?
Dr. Senhoff, I do apologize for interrupting. I do see that the licensee, Ms. Hart, is here, so the committee may want to see if she would like to make a statement first.
Ms. Hart, would you like to make a statement regarding this matter?
Nothing too much. I know I've been to the last two meeting and then also the board meeting, and always just want to apologize for kind of signing those things, turning in those things late. But I'm glad that my supervisor was able to reach out to you guys.
Thank you. Dr. Davey?
In reading this, I'm not even sure we need a motion. Do we, Ms. Galvin? I mean, this was a consideration of whether or not we wanted to open a complaint. I think with the information here, I'm wanting to not open a complaint. I believe she was under supervision during that period of time, and so far would just say that we can move forward.
Yeah, a motion, if you want to make one, would be to take no action. There's a record that you have at least addressed it and considered it.
Very good. I'll make that motion that we take no action at this time.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Just the discussion of just thanking the applicant for coming forward and being conversant with us about this matter and helping us clear it up and being forthcoming with the information in a timely fashion.
Thank you, Ms. Hart, for being available for that, too. We appreciate it. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next item is new agenda items for future meetings. Does anybody have any suggestions for that? Okay, hearing none, moving on to the next agenda item, do we have a motion to adjourn?
One second. Back to a discussion we had several meetings ago with regard to some potential issues with providers maybe be leading current BCBAs astray and getting them, essentially having them practice in the state without all the information and not being licensed, and then kind of, their hands are washed, and then we're speaking to licensees about that. Just wondered if we had an update from board staff maybe next time with regard to if there's been any movement around that, if we've made any discussions with the Attorney General, or if we are just kind of not going to move forward with for the review of that. I think it'd be nice for the committee to get an update on that.
I would have to check with Ms. Pakanon on that and see where things are at with that. I don't have any other update at this time.
That's fine. I think a future agenda meeting, and it may even be an executive session discussion.
Noted. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other agenda items? All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. Second?
I'll second.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Davey. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.